The teaching of evolution to public school children is having a devastating influence. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the seduction of the innocent. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Some of the startling announcements of the great achievements of man in our 20th century have conditioned the American public to believe almost anything it sees in print. Wild theories and speculations garbed in scientific language are swallowed by gullible readers. For example, the theories of evolution are taken for granted in many quarters today. They found their way, of course, into the universities, the high schools, and, of course, even the grade schools of our land. Now, maybe we ought to pause and define the terms we're going to be using on today's broadcast. What is evolutionism? What is creationism? The evolutionist endeavors to explain the origin of our solar system and the species of animals and vegetable life by projecting what is termed natural law backward to some beginning in the dim, dark past. It's a belief that all things, whether living or non-living, evolved into their present complexity over billions of years. Creationism, on the other hand, is a belief in the account of God's holy word concerning miraculous, instantaneous creation by an all-wise God. It's the acceptance by faith of what God says in his word, and that faith, of course, is based on evidence, that leave us without any excuse. A creationist accepts the simple, thus saith the Lord, rather than trust in his own ability to reason the thing out concerning the origin of everything. Now, let's contrast the teaching of evolutionist and of creationist on the origin of the earth. To show the evolutionistic teaching on this question, I want to quote from a textbook entitled Child's History of the World by Virgil M. Hillier. Now, this is a textbook, friends, that's been used in the public schools of America for years. I quote from this source now for two reasons. First of all, because it presents the evolutionary theory in all of its simplicity without the use of scientific terms that are hard to understand. Second, I give this to show how Satan has connived to bring the theories of evolution before the very youngest minds to corrupt and confuse their belief in God's word. Now, here's what I'm reading. Quote, one of these stars is our sun. Yes, our sun. The other stars would look the same as the sun if we could get as close to them. But at that time, so long, long ago, our sun was not just a big, round, white, hot ball as we see it in the sky today. It was then more like the fireworks you may have seen on the 4th of July. It was whirling and sputtering and throwing off sparks. One of these sparks, which the sun threw off, got cool just as a spark from the crackling log in the fireplace gets cool, and this cooled off spark was, what do you suppose? See if you can guess. It was our world, yes, the world on which we now live. At first, however, our world or earth was nothing but a ball of rock. This ball of rock was wrapped around with steam like a heavy fog. Then the steam turned to rain, and it rained on the world, and it rained and rained, and it rained until it had filled up the hollows and made enormously big puddles. These puddles were the oceans. The dry places were bare rock. All right, there it is, friends, quoted from pages 5 to 9 of that book for school children. Now, mind you, this is the account of the beginning of all things that our boys and girls are learning in the grade schools of America today. Now let's turn to God's Word and discover what He Himself says about the origin of our earth. In Genesis 1, verse 1, we read, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And in Genesis 2, 1-4, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Now, friends, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, we have the Bible picture right in front of us. David, the psalmist, testified as to the origin of this world in his words of Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, the Bible's full of statements like that. Both Old and New Testament writers testify as to how this world came into existence. Our belief in this matter determines whether or not we accept God's authority as the author of the sacred scriptures. Evolutionists, of course, place the age of our world into the millions and some into the billions of years. Amazing indeed is the vast differences among the evolutionary scientists and their efforts to establish the date of the birth of this world. However, we can have confidence in Bible chronology, which indicates that this earth is not yet even 6,000 years of age. Now, many are confused by modern science and its attempts to measure the age of our world by the time it takes to develop the fossils and the different strata of the earth. Now, it's well to remember that the scientist has established his own standards of measurement as to how long it's taken for these formations. Once again, mere theories and speculations. I tell you, friends, we ought to be really upset and concerned as we see evolution and its theories creeping into Christian doctrine. Deistic evolutionists and theistic evolutionists are trying to harmonize God's Word with those theories of evolution. The first puts God into the picture as the one who created the first living matter, but then permitted evolution to take over from there. The second, theistic evolution, teaches that God creates by the process of evolution. But as Bible-believing Christians, we can be but just one thing, and that's a creationist theist. That is, those who believe that God creates and sustains all things. Now, one of the popular theories of the Christian world today that incorporates the doctrine of evolution is that God took, through the process of evolution, six long periods of time for the creation of this world. In other words, rather than six literal days, as indicated in Genesis 1, they take every day to represent a long period of time. A form of this theory was first promoted by Augustine in the early Christian centuries, and then later was taught by the famous theologian Thomas Aquinas of the Catholic Church. But in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 11, we read that fourth commandment in which the question is answered as to how long it took for the creation of our world. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now here God himself identifies as to how long it took him to create the world. He said, in 6 days the Lord made. Yes, and if we do away with creation as taught in the Bible, friends, then we must do away with all the teachings of the Bible, for the words of Scripture are based on the authority of God as the Creator. The whole plan of salvation would be nullified, for if we had no Creator, we would have no Redeemer. Surely it takes more faith to believe the evolutionary theory than the Bible account of the beginnings of this world. The evolutionists teach that the world came about quite by chance through some great cosmic explosion out in space, resulting in a piece of the sun breaking off and becoming our world, and that the complexity of life on this planet also came about quite by accident. Now, that's enough, I think, for the origin of our earth. Let's now turn to the question of the origin of life. That is, the beginnings of the species of animal and vegetable life on this planet. I return again now to our statement from Child's History of the World, a textbook, you remember now, that's used in the public schools of America, in which simple language tries to describe the evolutionary theory. And I'm quoting, "Then, after this," that is, after the evolution of our earth, "came the first living things, tiny plants that you could only have seen under a microscope. At first, they grew only in the water, then along the water's edge, and then out on the rock. Then dirt or soil, as people call it, formed all over the rock and made the rock into land, and the plants grew larger and spread farther over the land. Then after this came the first tiny animals on the water. They were wee mites like drops of jelly. Then after this came things like insects, some that live in the water, some on the water, some on the land, and some in the air. Then after this came fish that live only in the water. Then after this came frogs that live in the water and on the land too. Then after this came snakes and huge lizards, bigger than alligators, more like dragons. And they grew so big that at last they could not move and died because they could not get enough food to eat. Then after this came birds that lay eggs, and those animals like foxes and elephants and cows that nurse their babies when they're born. Then after this came monkeys. Then last of all came, what do you suppose? Yes, people, men, women, and children. Now that's a statement, friends, out of the book for children in public school. And then to be certain that these evolutionary ideas are drummed into the minds of these boys and girls, the quotation goes on to say this, quote, here are the steps. See if you can take them. Star, sun, sun, spark, spark, world, world, steam, steam, rain, rain, oceans, oceans, plants, plants, mites, mites, insects, insects, fish, fish, frogs, frogs, snakes, snakes, birds, birds, animals, animals, monkeys, monkeys, people. And here we are. What do you suppose will be next? And that is the statement, again, out of this textbook for children. Friends, is there any wonder why our world is filled with atheists and infidels and agnostics when teachings like this are placed in the minds of our boys and girls? Evolutionism is a hoax. A class example of that, of course, is a Piltdown man. I've told you before on this broadcast how they had taught for years that that particular bone, Piltdown man, was believed to be 300,000 years of age. And then they discovered that it was a fabrication. It was a total hoax. The evolutionist claims that when proper amounts of certain elements like nitrogen, oxygen, hydrogen, and carbon chance to come together under certain favorable conditions of temperature and humidity, that the first living cell suddenly sprang into existence. They go on to explain that through the process of mutation and chance evolution, things continued to develop until the complete forms of animal life became what they are today. But the genealogy of Luke 3 traces the ancestry of Christ back to Adam and Eve and to God himself, not to some primary form of life like the mollusk or quadruped or some one-cell piece of protoplasm along the water's edge. God reveals how man became a reality in this world. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And again in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Surely, my friends, the marvels of human physiology give evidence of a divine creator. This complex, complicated body could never be explained on the basis of evolution. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalmist said. And now this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.